So we start our study on prayer this afternoon. I'm actually going to start at the end. What I mean by that is to start our study this afternoon with the words and the attitude that is often expressed at the end of our prayers. And I bet the children know how prayers are often closed. What's often said when we finish our prayers? Raise your hand if you know what we usually say at the end of our prayers. David? Right. In Jesus' name, amen. In the catechism that we've been following for our study on prayer, it says that prayer is to be offered up in the name of Jesus. And I would go further to say that prayer should be offered up only in the name of Jesus. And there are some reasons why that this is important. We are led to come to God through Jesus Christ and through Him alone, and our prayers are offered up to God only through the mediation of Jesus Christ. I'd like to read several scriptures that have to do with this and then make some comments about the mediation of Christ, and then to talk about what that looks like, what it means that we pray in the name of Jesus, and then to also look at some counterexamples, some things that we do not do because of this teaching of our prayer in Jesus' name. Let's start with some reading of Scripture. And I'm going to call out a reference, and if you'd raise your hand and let me know that you would take that verse, I'll assign them this way today. John 14, 6, and then verses 13 and 14. John 14, 6, 13, 14. Jeff? John 16, 23. Go with Derek and Logan. You can have Ephesians 2:18, then 1 Timothy 2:5, anyone who has their Bible ready, is that your hand raised, Nathan? No? Anybody else? Alan? And Revelation 8:3-4. Holly? Good. Let's start with John 14, verse 6, and then verses 13 and 14.
Okay, verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Verses 13 and 14. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it.
This is a good passage to teach on this because it couples the mediation of Christ for us that we typically think of in a saving way with his mediation as well for our prayers. The passage is in the context of Jesus saying that he is going away, that he's going to be accomplishing our redemption at the cross, and that this accomplishment opens up the way of redemption. And the very famous words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And we typically think of that, and rightfully so, typically think about it in the context of saving faith, that salvation is only through Jesus Christ. He goes on in that chapter then to talk about the accomplishment of his purpose that is worked out in this life, and that part of the means that he uses are the prayers that are offered up. And those prayers are accepted through the mediation of Christ as well. And it says that very bluntly, that if you ask, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. And we'll be talking in just a little bit about what this looks like, but I want you especially to see that it is through the mediation of Jesus Christ, and only through the mediation of Jesus Christ, that our prayers are heard. Let's look at John 16:23.
16:23. In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you.
And Ephesians 2:18.
For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father.
These two references, again, are amplification of what he said in John chapter 14, that the access that we have to the Father is one that is that comes through his mediation. And in the John 16 passage, there's the further explanation that is given that our prayers are directed Godward, but in the through the mediation of Jesus Christ. And the Ephesians passage is important, and it says that in speaking to Jew and Gentile, that both have access to the Father, that there's not one way of access by to one person and another way of access to a different person, as if you needed a different area code depending on where you lived or something like that. It's one access to the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ. And that's especially confirmed by Paul in 1 Timothy 2:5.
For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus.
The mediation of Christ is underlined there, as it is as well in Revelation 8, verses 3 and 4. I wanted to include that passage as an indication of the what we often call the sweet smelling aroma of our prayers. In this case, it's likened to the incense of a burnt offering. And in that context, we're reminded of the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And then because of that, the sweet smelling aroma that our prayers are that rise up before the Lord. So we pray in the name of Jesus, and we pray only in the name of Jesus. And to summarize what that means, we do not say that the prayer has to specifically use those words, in Jesus' name, amen. In fact, there's a very famous prayer that doesn't use those words. Mm-hmm. Do you know what prayer that is? It's the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer doesn't use in Jesus' name, amen. Kind of fascinating, isn't it? That Jesus, in teaching to pray, doesn't use those words. Well, the lesson that we learn from that is that the words are not somehow magical words that have to be repeated so that prayer then flies to heaven because you've said the magic words. It's rather speaking to the heart of prayer that is utterly dependent upon Christ's mediation, which is part of the Lord's Prayer. It runs all through it. So the whole attitude of Christ in prayer, the whole attitude that he's teaching, is that our prayers are offered in utter dependence upon the Lord, and that we pray to him on the basis of Christ's mediation. So just very bluntly, it's in Jesus' name, amen. It's not like abracadabra or anything like that, that you can say whatever you want, add the magic words, and it will happen. That instead, it has to do with the mediation of Jesus Christ, that as high priest, that he lives to make intercession for us. And based on that intercession, we come before the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in time of need. I hope those words sound familiar from our call to worship this morning. And to reinforce that, would someone read Hebrews 4:15-16? Hebrews 4:15-16. Rachel, please. Thanks. While she's finding that, just add the observation that that we can come to approach prayer superstitiously, and one way that that's evidenced is by thinking that you have to use the right formula or say the right words, and that that's what makes a prayer pleasing in God's ears. Instead, what I'm urging you to see is that when we pray in Jesus' name, it's rather reflecting the dependence upon His mediation that is part of that prayer. So let's go ahead and hear Hebrews 4:15-16.
For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time.
You'll notice that the mediation of Christ is front and center in that passage. In fact, in all of the book of Hebrews, it is emphasizing the mediation of Christ. But notice again that His mediation is pointed not just in a saving way, but also in the day-by-day mediation that is so important to us. And it's reflected in our prayers when we draw near to receive mercy, to find grace, to help in time of need. Those sound like times that we often pray, as when we need God's grace, when we're convicted of sin and need His mercy, when we are in need. Those are times when we especially draw near to Christ. And to know that we have a mediator that is there for us, that he lives to make constant intercession for us, that gives us quite a bit of boldness. Even as this verse suggests, that we have confidence to draw near to the throne of grace and to find these things to help in time of need. That's appropriate as we'll discover, for the practical aspects of this life as well as the spiritual needs that we face. I'll leave those specifics for later as we'll think through the Lord's Prayer at a later date, but I want you to see the mediation of Jesus Christ that makes this possible. Let's talk then about some practical implications about I've described that we don't necessarily say the words in Jesus' name, Amen. Let me hasten to say that it's okay to say that, that it's very appropriate to pray those words. Sometimes a caution against something could be read as if it shouldn't happen, and it is very good. And I'll speak especially to the children. Your parents are teaching you about praying, and they're teaching you to use those words and to even say in Jesus' name, Amen. I want you to think about that, though. I want you to think about why your parents are asking you to pray in Jesus' name. I want you to think especially about how it's Jesus who is the mediator. It's Jesus who is the one who has opened up the way to God for us, and who by His work of redemption saves us, and by His work as priest is the one who draws us into God's presence. So as your parents are teaching you to use those words, take that extra step of thinking, so why is it I say that? And the teenagers especially, I want you to to put some thought into that and to think about why you say the words in Jesus' name, amen. The second thing that I would suggest practically is that, as I said, you don't need to use those words, but that your prayer should reflect acknowledgement of your dependence upon God. And this too is more of a heart attitude than anything that is prescribed by the actual words that you might say. There are times where a cry for help is full of faith, because you know very well that it is God and God alone who is your help and your deliverer. And it's at those times especially that the urgent cry for help to God is as full of faith as any prayer. At other times, it's good to remind yourself of your dependence upon God. And as you confess sin, then using the promises of God to lead you to that, using the promises of God that remind you of forgiveness are especially appropriate. And when there's an outpouring of your heart for things that are agreeable to His will, to express very deliberately to the Lord that you're dependent upon Him for answer and for supply. Those are some positive practical implications. Let me talk about a couple of negative implications. We should pray in the name of Jesus and only in the name of Jesus. Why do I say only in the name of Jesus? Does anyone have any guesses? Maybe some of you. Yeah, Jeff.
There's a push in the civil square not to pray in the name of Jesus, but rather have more generic prayers so no one will be offended.
Very good. Let me come back to that and elaborate on that in just a minute. Other ideas?
I suppose some people see St. Peter as a medium between us and Jesus, and then Jesus to God.
Yep. Yeah. Very good. Rachel? That's right. We pray only in the name of Jesus because He's God, and that out of the mouth of babes. Isn't that right? Well, let me talk about those two. Those are two very important points that Jeff and Aaron have made that I would like to elaborate on. And let me start with praying in someone else's name, or thinking of our mediation coming from someone else. And Aaron mentioned St. Peter, another one that for those who might have a Roman Catholic background, there are often prayers through the Virgin Mary that are offered to God. And someone once described this to me as in this way. I was asking about why prayers are offered to Mary, and he said, who better to get Jesus' attention than His mother?
A mother.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah. A mother always has her son's ear, right? And a son will always listen to his mother. That's the effect of what the answer was. And humanly speaking, this is true. There are we may think this way. And it may actually be the case, humanly speaking. But as Rachel said, Jesus is God. And there is but one mediator between God and man. And it's just not the case that Jesus doesn't listen to us, that Jesus doesn't hear us. That's just not the case. The idea is that Jesus is so busy and so his hands are so full that it would be a good idea that to get your appeal on his agenda, that you go through the mother, and she would be able to get in the back door and make sure that Jesus hears your request. And quite honestly, what an awful view of Jesus that is, to think of him not having time for you, or not having attention, not having love, not having ability, whatever the case may be. It's just not the case of who Jesus is. Listen to Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 22. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Christ is this way. Christ is this mediator for us. And to put Mary or the saints in the equation is to distance yourself from God. It doesn't draw you closer. It actually makes you more distance from God. It is not keeping with Scripture or the purpose of Christ that there would be some other mediator. So instead of being drawn near to God by such prayers, we are actually placing a bureaucrat in the way, you know. We're a controller in the way, somebody else in the way, instead of Christ. And what the scriptures describe is that through Christ we are brought into the throne room of God. But by praying through someone else, we are removed from that. We're separated from him. So I would have you see that praying through Jesus and Jesus only means that we are brought into his immediate presence, that he himself intercedes for us. And that is a supreme privilege that we have as Christians. And to pray through other mediators, while it may have something that sounds like truth, humanly speaking, is contrary to Scripture and actually removes you from God. Then, secondly, as Jeff said, there is a very, very strong movement right now for what are called sometimes ecumenical prayers. In other words, gather together a large group of people, and in that large group of people, there may be a lot of different faiths that are represented there. In our circles today, especially, there could possibly be Christian, Jewish, Islamic, all gathered together into one group. And the way it's often phrased, I think, Jeff, the way you put it is the way I've heard it as well, is so as not to be offensive to any particular religion, then prayer is offered up in the without any identification of God. There's prayer to Supreme Being, Father, sometimes Mother God, without any further identification. And deliberately, there is a leaving off, a leaving out of Jesus. And that's a very deliberate action. Why? Well, it's because the Jews and the Muslims don't believe in Jesus as a savior or as a mediator, and that to pray in his name would be potentially offensive to them. And so prayers in this light are thought to be generous or gracious, but I would suggest that that's not true prayer at all. Instead, it is vain to pray unless it is through the mediation of Jesus. That it is a prayer that is offered without acknowledgement of his mediation, that is necessary both for salvation and for our well-being and for our prayers. And that to deliberately leave him out is to consciously deny the mediation of Christ, which goes against the whole purpose of prayer and praying in his name. A related aspect to that would be when you have opportunities to pray in a smaller setting with members of another religion. They may invite you to pray with them, and this has happened to me in several situations. In that case, I will pray when invited to pray if I'm the one leading. If another person is praying, then while I don't talk or make rude noises or anything, I do not pray with those individuals, because it's not true prayer. When I'm invited to pray, I do pray, and I pray in the name of Jesus. And as Walter Martens describes in Kingdom of the Cults, in doing so is not only true prayer, which is effective, but it also testifies in that situation of who it is that is the one God and the one mediator. And it's an opportunity, without any interruption or argument, to to testify to the saving power of Jesus Christ. So a couple of negative implications that we've talked about, that prayer should not be offered up in anyone else's name, and neither should it be offered up in nobody's name, in the sense of the broad ecumenical prayer that consciously disallows Christ, because that goes against the whole force. G.I. Williamson, in his commentary on the Catechism, sums it up by saying the really important thing is whether or not the prayer is offered up to God out of faith in Jesus Christ. He is the way, and no one comes to the Father except by him. I thought that was a very good way to summarize both the positive and the negative implications that I've been trying to touch on today. Any questions or comments? Stephanie.
I was invited to an Indian friend's house, and I wasn't able to go to scheduling because the invitation was, this is a time to pray for our husband once a year, and bless him and pray for him, and then we have a meal and when we gather and do this. And so, you know, I was trying to figure out if I was able to go, how I would approach this. And my thought was to just make it clear to her that, sure, I would love to pray, but I wouldn't pray to my God for my husband during this time. And but I don't know, what would be your thoughts on a situation like that?
I think you're in the right area, and I would maybe take it one step further and encourage you to make it clear that it's not just that you're praying to I'm praying to my God, and you're praying, or the implication is that you're praying to your God, and it almost gives acknowledgement of that as another God in another way, and if there's no opportunity for you to speak to it, then there may be reason for you to say to not associate with that. Unless you have opportunity to actually pray and to testify in your prayer to Christ, or in in a prior conversation to tell why it is that it's different, and especially in a culture that is almost proud about being pluralistic, of there being lots of different gods, and that's okay. I would urge caution, I guess, in that situation to not grant. Legitimacy in that conversation, but do that graciously and use it as an opportunity to say that you're longing for the right things, and here's what it says in the Bible about honoring our husbands and praying for them, and that they're a type of Christ, and use it as an opportunity to speak about Jesus. Any other comments or questions? It's a very very practical and good question, Stephanie. Thank you for that. Well, let's bow together in prayer as we close. Lord, thank you that we can come to you through Jesus Christ, and we're so grateful for what he has accomplished on the cross for us, and what he continues to accomplish day by day as our high priest. Lord, thank you that we can come directly into your throne room and to find grace and mercy to help in time of need. Lord, as we cry out to you, we pray that you would be drawing our eyes ever closer to the work of Jesus, and our hearts ever closer to the fact of our belonging to you. And we do pray, God, that in the context of many different religions, that you would be helping us to know how to carry ourselves, how to participate in friendship with those of other religions, but also how we can testify to the one true God, and that even in our prayers that we would acknowledge Jesus Christ as our only Redeemer. In his name we pray. Amen. Thanks, you're dismissed.